Welcome to the AI for Interior Designers podcast, where creativity meets cutting-edge technology. In each episode, we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence and explore how it's revolutionizing the interior design industry. From AI-powered design tools to the latest trends and innovations, we've got you covered. So plug in, relax, and let's embark on this exciting journey together. Welcome to AI for Interior Designers podcast. P.S. This intro was written by and voiced by AI to sound like your host, Jenna Gooddusek. Hey guys, welcome back for episode 4 of AI for Interior Designers. I have a very special guest today, somebody that I have known in the online world since pre-COVID, so I would say about 2019 is kind of when we linked up online, and she has helped me with so much copywriting over the years that, of course, I had to ask her, you know, like, are you using AI? Because for me, I don't know that copywriters do, right? Like, for interior designers, you've learned in the first 3 episodes about just a few ways that I'm currently using AI for my design business. But what about copywriters who technically, like, there's a lot of tools out there where we can rewrite or write a lot of our own copy. But today you're going to learn that there is, yes, there's a place and many use cases for copywriting, but it also kind of reinforces why you hire a professional to help you with the messaging strategy for your website, for your copy, all the things. So Masha brings, Masha Koyan of Content Vertical brings 16 different ideas and use cases for how she incorporates AI into her design business in today's episode. Honestly, guys, it's fascinating because her whole niche is interior designers. Like, that is who she builds, you know, like, this content for, this website copy, like, so many different uses, but for specifically interior designers. So I learned a lot today in today's episode as she reviews these 16 different uses, which is like, she's like, you know, I might use it for one or two, but then she sat down, wrote a list, and 16 different ways. And there are things that, like, you know, in our little bubble of design, where we are focusing on a lot of visuals and all of that stuff, we might not necessarily think about. She thought about it, and it is super cool and very innovative. And yes, it reinforces the need to obviously hire her as a copywriter, because she like takes this deep dive into really learning and discovering what your needs are and how that relays to potential clients and what they're seeing online. But more so, like, there's things that you could potentially implement as well, just in your design business yourself using AI and copywriting. So it's awesome. I can't wait to share all of this stuff with you. Definitely check out her podcast. We'll be dropping some information on that. I was on that with her this week talking about AI. So very excited to get started here. Let's dive in. Okay, welcome to the 4th episode of AI for Interior Designers. I have a very special guest today, Masha Koyan, and she is a messaging strategist and copywriter, and somebody that I've actually known for over 5 years now in the industry and have used her services for copywriting. But Masha uses AI in her business, and I thought that this would be a wonderful episode for not only interior designers, but creatives that are looking to really streamline their messaging and see what they can do with AI technology. So welcome, Masha. Thank you so much for coming on my 4th episode, my 2nd guest ever.
Hey, Jenna. So happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. So we actually just recorded Masha's podcast. Masha, tell us the name of yours.
We batch record.
We do. Tell us the name of your podcast real quick so that they can find that.
Of course. It's Marketing for Designers. So it's basically, we're chatting about all things marketing for interior designers.
Love it. That's great. Okay. So today, though, you have like 16 different tips for just like little things that you use AI for. Let's just like jump into that. Let's just like start talking about it. So start with number 1. What do you got?
Sounds good. So number one is, I think it's my favorite way to use ChatGPT. And we're talking about different kind of AI tools, but I use primarily ChatGPT. I haven't really experimented with any other ones because, and I use the paid version. So I should mention that because it's well worth it. Mm-hmm. But here's the first way. So running a focus group in AI to really understand the mindset of your audience. Because when I write, I specialize in writing website copy for interior designers. That's my signature service. And the number one important thing for me when I write is to really understand, who am I writing for? So yes, I'm writing for interior design businesses about their businesses, but I'm doing that from the perspective of their audience. Like, who are we trying to connect to? So in order for me to understand what resonates with those people, I use ChatGPT sometimes to run these focus groups. So for example, I would get together, I would basically prompt ChatGPT and say, okay, so you are, and I would give him a name, that person that we're trying to appeal to and resonate to. And I would give the prompt as much information as I can about, you know, what do you work as? What do you like to do in your spare time? What's important to you in your home? How do you like to spend time? What are you looking for when you're hiring a designer? And I would get a couple of people in the room, in this kind of virtual room, and say, you are this, you are that, you're a little bit different. And I would describe their personality and the things that they like. And I would then prompt them with questions. I'm like, okay, so you've got four of you here. How do you hire? What's important to you? And I would give them questions and I would let them have conversations. So here now, I'm really understanding their mindset. It's like, okay, this person who, I don't know, who's got like multiple homes and different exotic locations and, you know, they like to travel and they like to save time, and that's what's important. So I'm getting answers to my questions from different perspectives, because typically when I write for interior designers, they don't just have one audience type. They have a couple of groups. So it's important for me to understand those different couple of groups, because I want to, at the end of the day, make sure that the content is resonating with those different types.
That is fascinating. And I've never heard that used like that before. So you're getting like, so you start a chat thread in ChatGPT. Yes. And you're creating like these little personas, four little people that you're like, okay, here's what you do. Now go talk about it. And then you kind of like fuel the conversation with questions.
Exactly. So you can have it multiple ways. You can run this focus group and prompt them with questions, or you can let them talk amongst themselves. I typically use the first way just because I want to prompt them and I want to make sure they're answering from their perspectives. And sometimes I follow up with questions. Like sometimes I do have a list of questions that I want to ask them, and I want to get the, you know, certain details from them. Because what I'm looking for is, what resonates with them? What do they think deep down? Like, what are their concerns? What are their pain points? I ask them things like, what's a hesitation for you when you're like hiring a designer? Because most of the, or maybe how do you look for an interior designer? I never expect for them to say, well, I do a Google search. Those people never, especially the premium kind of clients, they never do Google search. Like maybe their assistants do, but they go into their like golf club, or, you know, they reach out into their network. And I'm like, okay, so say you did get the name from one of, you know, one of the trusted sources in your network. What's important to you? What are you looking for? What's a non-negotiable? What are your hesitations? And they say like mind-blowing things like, you know, well, you know, I look for like something like, I look for quality, or I make sure they don't cut corners, or I make sure they've done the experience. They've designed luxury homes before. They're not just saying they design luxury homes. They've actually designed, and they can, you know, they can prove it. So you, and you can ask them anything. That's the thing about this focus group. You can make it about anything.
That is so cool. Yeah. Okay. I have something I'm going to talk to you about after the podcast.
Sounds good. So that's just number ideas. One. Yeah. Oh, I love always you and ideas. You always have ideas. I love that. So that's number one. Let's get into number two. Number two is analyzing research data and raw data to pull out, we call it message mining in copywriting. But basically, I don't just write website copy for interior designers. I interview their clients. That's part of my process. I have the signature process and I interview five of your ideal clients, and really try to understand how do they make decisions, what's important to them, you know, hesitations, objections, things like that. And then at the end of the day, I get those transcripts of those conversations, and they're full of raw data. They're full of all kinds of responses. But instead of, I do still sift through them, so I never rely solely on ChatGPT, but I would sometimes put it into AI and say, okay, analyze it. What are the common threads between these five interview transcripts mm-hmm. that I got? You know, is there a common thread? Are there patterns that most of these people mention? Like, for example, the things that are important to them. And sometimes I get those couple of nuggets. And if I did find a pattern or some type of common theme, then I know if it resonates with these, like, let's say 3 out of 5 people, that most often it's going to resonate with others. So I can use that audience insight in my copy, because then that means that it speaks the language of the audience that my clients are trying to appeal to. So analyzing raw data.
That's amazing. So where do you find these people? You're like talking to real people in this situation, right? And then you're getting the transcripts?
Yes, I'm talking. Okay. So when my clients hire me to write their website copy, mm-hmm, as part mm-hmm. of my process, I say, give me 5 of your clients okay. that you've worked with, past okay. projects, successful projects, sometimes mm-hmm. not ideal clients, because mm-hmm. we don't only want to understand, you know, the mindset of the ideal clients, but we want to repel the copy, the good mm-hmm. copy that you put on your website has to repel the tire kickers, the people yeah. that are wasting your time, the not so, you know, like a poor fit client, basically. Mm-hmm. So I get those people from my clients. These are the okay. people that they've worked
with. And that
with.
Right there is why you hire a professional, because like, I'm exactly. not going to do that.
It's that's the richest. Amazing. First of all, you're getting amazing customer testimonials, because mm-hmm. you're not just getting something that people leave a Google review and it's like, well, that was a great project.
Yeah.
You spent 9 months on that project and you get yeah. that one line that was a great mm-hmm. project. And through these interviews, I'm not only getting those audience insights that I can then use in website copy, but I'm getting mm-hmm. a really well thought out customer testimonials, because mm-hmm. I can craft them from yeah. the words that they've said throughout the interview. I can kind of like put them together.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, transcripts right now with AI just like changing the game, right? Like
it
reads it in 2 seconds and it's like, okay, here's all the information that you need.
Oh, look, here's the summary of this, you know, hour long conversation. Yeah. I'm like, yes, thank you. Yeah. And you know, we were just talking about it right before, like we rely on our transcript for when we do the calls, we have the transcript going on the background. And sometimes, yep. you know, it allows you to like jump to that point in the conversation. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
That's yeah. why I love the technology. Sometimes I hate it, but that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why it just helps me.
Yeah. I mean, transcripts is where it's at right now.
Yeah.
It changes exactly. everything. All right. What's number 3?
All right. Number 3, we've got coming up with a hook for a story. So that we're talking about compelling intros, compelling, you know, that first line in the email, that first line in the blog, in whatever it is, in the caption. You know, sometimes I'm sitting there and tweaking that first line until there is, you know, until I'm blue in the face, because that first line is everything. That's what's going to determine whether somebody is just going to scroll past that, or somebody is actually going to stop and read, like to stop your scroll. So sometimes mm-hmm. I would, if I've written something, I would go back to ChatGPT. I'm like, okay, let's tweak that first line. Let's make it a lot more compelling, a lot more seducing, a lot more, you know, engaging, something that's going to stop me in my tracks and like literally grab me by the eyeballs. Like, okay, pay attention mm-hmm. now. So coming up with a hook or tweaking something that you already have to make the hook more engaging.
Okay, that's awesome.
Okay. Number 4, we've got ideation. So ideation, that's like a whole different thing. We've got topic research for a blog or weekly newsletters. I would just ask it to come up with like, give me 10 different ideas then. And obviously, prompt is everything. So I would give ChatGPT, you know, here's the audience. Here's what the business does. Here's what they've already posted about. Here's what you should not talk about. Give me mm-hmm. 10 ideas that I can explore in blogs or in email newsletters. So that's number 4. Number five is another favorite. I already said that the first one was my favorite, but this is another favorite. So naming things. I absolutely love using that because I think it's like a skill. It's art when you can name things. And so I rely pretty heavily on that. So I've used it in so many ways. I have a signature framework that I've, and the name of it is Reveal, because it is for interior designers and it's my 6-step signature process. So I must have gone through 100 iterations of the name until it finally spit out Reveal. So it's not like on the first try or the second try or even the 10th try it comes up with a really good name, especially if it's like an acronym for something.
Yep.
But oh my God, if you give it, if you really trust it, lean into it, tweak it in the process, it will spit something relevant. And I'll tell you something. So I've used it for myself to name things, but I've also used it for my clients to name their services. For example, awesome. I'm a true believer when an interior designer has like a very strong differentiator and it's their process. And they go above and beyond and even name their process. So relying on ChatGPT to name it. So I've actually used it once. It was a couple of years ago. I helped one kitchen designer in New York come up with the names of the steps in her process. So she's a kitchen designer and we came up with, she's got 3 steps in her process and we came up with titles for each of the steps. The first one was Let's Dish. The second one, Cooking Up Function. The third one is Serving Up Perfection.
Amazing.
What? Like, how cool is that? She's a kitchen designer. It's so on brand. It's got a bit of personality, and that's what it does, because you feed it, you give it prompts like, I want it to be a little bit funny. I want it to be on brand. You know, I want it to kind of inject a little bit of personality and make sure it's aligned with kitchen design.
Yeah. So okay. Awesome. I love that. I also use it for naming things too. So I'm glad that you said this, because well, AI for interior designers is so like SEO optimized, right? Like that's what the goal was for all of this. Coming up with names of like the new classes that I'm working on, where I'm like, I've got some things that I can't talk about quite yet, but they're coming out soon. And I'm like, what do I name this? You know, like everything else has been like getting started with ChatGPT, getting started with Midjourney. And it says exactly what it is, but like, it's not fun. And so for these, AI Day is one of them, but for these events and new classes, I'm like, keep it simple, but give all this information. So here's a whole paragraph of the things that I want to include, but you need to make it catchy and no more than 3 words. That's always kind of been a benefit. You know, eDesign Tribe, simple, easy to use. AI for interior designers, simple. Everybody knows it, right? So, and it's showing up on Google like you wouldn't believe. So coming up with the names for these things can be a little bit more fun, but I wanted to like compress and add all of the information and I can never figure out the words. So I will run like, okay, here's a list of 10. Give me another list of 10 based off of this one that you came up with and let's like rework it a little bit, right? So it's a whole conversation where you're like,
it is.
Yeah, back and forth with it.
It is, it is. And sometimes I have like angry conversations like, no, that's not what I meant. And I'm like, and I was speaking with a coach, it was like a year ago, I was in a mastermind. She's like, no, you got to treat them as like real people and like, you've got to be polite with them. I'm like, oh my God, you do not want to see some of my conversations with them. Because sometimes they're not just getting it, right? But sometimes they are. And like you said, it is a conversation. So sometimes you say, it's like, okay, I like number 4, but let's tweak it a little bit to say this or that, and then give me 10 more alternatives, basically.
So, that's funny.
It is a conversation.
Well, I found that if you say please and thank you and you're nice, that hopefully when they rise up against us, we're all okay.
I know. I'm in their good books. Yeah, I know. I was the good one.
Yeah.
I know. All right. It's questionable in my case, but we'll see. All right. So number 6 is tweaking voice. So this one is a big one for me because I ask it to write in a specific voice. Obviously, I analyze my customer's voice first and then to make sure that I get it right, because at the end of the day, if you're hiring a copywriter for your interior design business, you want the copy, the messaging to sound like you. So to me, that's critical. And sometimes if I want a voice to be a little bit more elevated, I would say things like, make it sound like I would feed it a paragraph that I'm trying to tweak the voice of, and I would say it in a Architectural Digest kind of way, or Elle Decor kind of way, or House Beautiful, because I want it to sound a lot more refined. Because, you know, when you read through those magazines, you just love how they describe things, how they write about interiors. So tweaking voice is a big one. And sometimes it's so funny because you can play around with that. You could say things like, say it in a Gary Vee kind of way. You give it like, you know, an actor, an influencer, like somebody known, like a, you know, it could be anyone, whoever you know and you appreciate and you love their like straight, like Mel Robbins, something like that. Mm-hmm. So you would say the same thing, but in a, how Gary Vee would say it. So mm-hmm. That's always fun.
That's so cool, because on the flip side, with what we can do with generative, you know, imagery, we can do the same thing with like a designer style. Right. So we can be like, design this like Frank Lloyd Wright, and then give all your other details. So we mm-hmm. can create the imagery. You can create the copy using a very similar,
yeah,
like act like this type situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. I like that.
I like that. That's cool.
Okay.
Very
What's
nice.
What's next?
All right. Next is rewriting something from the audience perspective. So a big thing about copywriting and the messaging on your website is that it has to resonate with your ideal clients. It has to resonate with your audience. Oftentimes, when you go to design a website, it's all about me, me, me. It's all about, you know, we do this, we do that. This is how we work. That's all great. It's your website. It's your brand. It's all about you. But sometimes you just need a small tweak to make sure that the audience sees themselves. They feel heard, seen, and understood in your copy. So sometimes it's just literally taking me and like turning it into we, or sorry, mm-hmm. into you and yours. Mm-hmm. So it could be the same paragraph. It's still about you. It's still about your brand, but it's from the audience perspective. Mm-hmm. This is how you would feel. You know, by doing this, you feel that. So sometimes I get ChatGPT to tweak whatever I've written to help mm-hmm. the content resonate more with the audience, with the intended audience.
Yeah. I love that you just said that, because I too read a lot of designers, you know, that I'm working with for mentorship. And I'm like, this isn't about you. Like, there's little parts that can be about you, but like, nobody cares about you. They care about what you can do for them. So
it is honestly 100% truth. Mm-hmm. No one cares about it. And yes, you can write it in the most engaging ways, but at the end of the day, the people that you're trying to appeal to, they came to your website to get their questions answered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they have a pain point, or they have something they want resolved, or they need something, or they have a desire. They want to understand, are you the right person who is going to help them with whatever it is that they need?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of designers are now going to take their website copy that talks a lot about them and put it into ChatGPT and say, replace me and I with you and whatever that other would be.
For sure. For sure. Right? And the nice. caution with that is, make sure like I can spot a ChatGPT text from a mile away. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I can. Yeah. So just make sure that it doesn't have things like immerse yourself or something like that. Because, I mean, as soon as I see it, I'm like, okay, you ChatGPT that thing. Yeah. But yeah, you just want to make sure it sounds. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You just want to make sure it sounds human, it sounds like you, it sounds personable, and it sounds like it's going to resonate with your people, the people that you want to attract.
Mm-hmm. So. And I just said this on your podcast, I'm going to say it again. So somebody, you know, mentioned during one of my Business of Home presentations that I had a typo in my website. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, let that in there so that you know that I wrote that as a human being, because ChatGPT is not going to make those errors. And I do write a lot of my copy, or I go in there and I change a lot of the stuff that, you know, ChatGPT has helped me with. Sprinkling in little errors these days, like I was doing it before ChatGPT, but now I just leave them so that people know for sure and kind of make a joke about it.
I love that. I'm not sure it's going to fly with my clients, but I love that. I'm going to use that if I like spot a little thing in my Instagram or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that was intentional. Jenna said it was okay. So I'm going to use you.
Perfect.
That's cool. All right. So we've covered that. We've covered rewriting something from the audience perspective. Coming up with FAQs for a services or a process page. That's a really good one because, you know, we just talked about it, that SEO is so important in this day and age. So you want to have an FAQ section on your website somewhere, whether it's on your about page or on your services or your process page. Get ChatGPT involved in that. You know, what are, describe your audience and ask what are the typical questions that people would ask. And then like I would go a step further and say, okay, what are the not so frequently asked questions and pull those ideas from somewhere because chances are it's pulling from current, from relevant, from real information. Obviously, you have, it is your business. You have an idea of what questions typically people ask during your discovery calls, during the lifespan of your project. So you have an idea of what questions, but sometimes it comes up with the most amazing questions. And you can always tweak that and say things like, okay, but what are people worried about that I can proactively address in my FAQ section? So coming up with FAQ sections for your FAQ section is amazing.
Smart. Never even would have thought about that.
Of course. Like, I mean, you can't possibly have it all in your head. It's like, okay, what do people ask, you know?
Yeah.
Just ask ChatGPT. Yeah.
Smart.
That's cool. A couple of other ones. Coming up with analogies. So, you know, we want to, you know, copywriting is all about clear copy. But I do want a creative spin. I do want something clever because it's just a lot more engaging. So coming up with those analogies is key, even if it's for like a social media post. I'm like, what would you compare it to? Give me like a smart analogy that has to do with whatever it is that you want to tie it to because it has to be relevant. You can't just pull it like a, you know, peanut butter and jam toast. Like, you know, that doesn't always work. You want to tie it to something that's relevant to your business or to the topic of conversation.
Smart. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, cool. It's cool. Content outlines. I feel like that's a big one. A lot of people use it for that, for presentation decks, for podcasts, for talks, for workshops, blogs. I obviously dig a little bit deeper. Once I get that outline, I'm like, okay, that's all good. The 1 through 5 is good. Let's, you know, switch up 6, 7, and then I tweak it. And then if I like the outline, I would ask, the tool to kind of let's go a little bit deeper on this topic and then provide like sub points. What can I talk about in this topic or whatever it is, whether it's a podcast or something else. And yeah, outlining is so helpful because it gives you a starting point and that's what you need. Sometimes you just don't know where to start. And if nothing, if you use it for nothing, starting point is the one thing that you should consider ChatGPT or any other AI tool for.
I love that. Do you mind if I just interject another way that I do that same thing that you just said using Canva's AI? So if you do a Canva doc and let's say you built it in there because it is AI infused, right? So you can build out your outline or you can bring it over from ChatGPT, which typically is much more detailed and a little bit more accurate. So you can bring it over, put it in a Canva doc, and then you can do docs to decks. Also, it works reverse where you can do a deck to a doc. And so if you are doing a presentation and you have this outline, you put it in that format, you can add pictures to it right there in the doc. And then you basically say, okay, turn this into a presentation. So the doc to deck, and then you choose your template. You can add all your branding with like one click. You can kind of do the shuffle for that. Add in your pictures, clean up your design, right? Because it's not going to be perfect, but it is going to create all the slides for you based off of that outline with its AI magic inside of Canva.
Oh my God. Like, how did I not know about it? Where have you been? Like, I am booking a call with you right after this because like 2023 was my year of like presentations, podcast appear, all kinds of things. You know how much time I spent on those presentations. I did not know that there is this integration. I love that. Yeah. I'm going to try it.
Canva magic. But if you do it in their documents, which probably wasn't around last year when you were trying to do this, it's fairly
new. Oh, that's what Canva magic is. I thought you were just saying it's Canva magic. I'm like, what is this thing? Oh my God. I never tried that actually. I've seen that in my Canva. Oh man. Okay. I'm going to try that.
All right. Report back because I want to know how you use it now.
Thank you. I love that. Okay. So this is the stretch. So the 11th is add personality and make content a lot more engaging. So I've asked it to add emojis into my email prompts, for example, into my email content or adding personality. Like you basically tell us like, well, this is how I want it to sound. I guess it's all about tweaking voice, but sometimes you want to just inject a little bit of personality and make it a lot more convincing or a lot more fun or a lot more engaging. So that's another way to use that. This one, I know for a fact that other people have used it. We just touched on that earlier. I think we talked about it during my podcast recording, but email response to a difficult client or a situation. Sometimes when you're just reacting to something, you're like, well, I'm going to write an email back and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I use that to respond to my kids' teachers. I'm like, Okay, now like take away all the Masha tone and make it sound a lot more like pleasant and turn it into, you know, something like non-confrontational. Like I'm not like a crazy mom, you know?
Right.
So I've used that like a difficult situation, difficult mm-hmm. client and make it sound a lot more. Well, no, per your email, you know.
Yes. So as I really wanted to write.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep.
So I've used that way. Making something more conversational and less robotic sounding. So that's a big one for me because I'm a true believer in the conversational tone. I really think that interior designers and creatives in general, when they switch, like on their social media, they're so loose and they're so conversational and they're so – I don't know. It's just like very personable, very casual. And then as soon as you go to their website, it's all buttoned up. It's all very like stiff sometimes. So I am a believer in making your web copy consistent with how you show up in all the other places and in real life. And yeah, so sometimes you take that copy. I'm like, okay, make me sound like that, like me in my social posts or a little bit more conversational. And then you can always tweak it because oftentimes they would just like go like I have a feeling like ChatGPT sometimes goes like the opposite, the extreme way. And then all of a sudden, hey, bro. And I'm like, no, let's tone it down a little bit. Like go back to the other side a little bit, meet me halfway and tweak it. Like it's a conversation. It's an iterative process. And sometimes it takes, you know, a second for ChatGPT to catch up to what it is that you want. So making things more conversational is another way.
That's so smart. I love that because you do see these people and everybody's starting to show up and show their face a little bit more and like it's really relatable on social media, but then you get to their site and it's like, they're not as cool as I thought.
It's like, really? Is that the same person? Because what they want to see, what your audience wants to see is like, okay, like that's true. She's authentic because she shows up in both places with the same kind of human touch. And that's what we want to see. So that's one way. What else we have? We have three more ways. Writing meta descriptions for a web page or SEO friendly content. Like I hate writing those things because they're boring. But then at the end of the day, they are important because when you are people never think about meta descriptions and it's those SEO things that people, you know, if you're not familiar with what it is, it's that thing, that little couple of lines that show up in Google search results when you're, you know, when your about page, for example, shows up in search results. You want to make sure that that one line kind of summarizes what it is that that page talks about, whether it's about you, about your brand, or how you serve. So writing meta descriptions based, and it's so easy to use. You basically drop the content from your page, drop it in ChatGPT and say, write meta description. I do still tweak it. Because it's important to add things to iterate and make sure it sounds how you want it to sound.
Mm-hmm. But are you using it for alt text as well right now?
I don't, and I don't really deal with images in copywriting, but I definitely a good thing. It's definitely important to think about it, especially for you, the way you would use it. That's and I know you've used it that way. Yeah, very
not
important.
Just with websites. You know, I do it for Instagram posts and for Pinterest and stuff. Yep, because you need it. It also is categorized in Google now with Instagram. So it's just extra boost. Same for Pinterest. You can also put the alt text behind it. If you're not familiar, alt text basically describes the image and it's words behind the image. And that shows up in your search results.
I should do that. I'm going to take that tip and implement that. I'm going to try using it that way too. Okay. And now we've got two more. Subject line writing. So that's like a key one for email because I love subject lines that are not just descriptive of what it is that you're writing about, but something that catches your attention. So sometimes I spend more time on writing a subject line than the actual content of an email. So definitely use ChatGPT for that. That's my go-to. Sometimes I tweak it and tweak it and tweak it until it arrives at something that's conversational, descriptive, but at the same time, a little bit like builds that mystery of and makes you want to click on it, because at the end of the day, that's what subject line does. It makes you want to click on whatever it is that you're writing about in the email.
Didn't even think about that. Now I'm going to write my emails, run them through, because it's such an afterthought for me. I'm like, oh God, what am I going to name it? Whatever.
It is an afterthought. It's
why people don't open.
Yeah. And that's at the end of the day, you could have, it's like a ghost town at the end of the day. You know, you've written this amazing email and it's full of you and it's full of like, it's, you know, it's, it communicates everything that you need to communicate, but people are not clicking because you didn't make it appealing enough, you know, compelling enough. So yeah, for sure. Smart. Try that. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one is just switching from passive to active voice and back. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, when your writing is in active voice, it's a lot more engaging. It's a lot more appealing to your audience. But when it's passive, it's not as effective. It goes against all the writing rules. But I like both. I like passive and active. And depending on the situation, I switch it back. So sometimes I would feed a paragraph where I feel it's not as active. It doesn't use enough of active voice. And I would feed it. I'm like, okay, make it active sounding. Change all the passive voice into active.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And things that I just would never as a creative like. Oh, I'm like, okay.
We'll just, you know what? My trick is
so smart.
Read it out loud, and you catch those things when you read it out loud. Like, that's my number one tip. Anything that I ever write, like I have a printer in my office, so I always print it out and I sit there. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to read it. It's going to be painful. Sometimes I read it to my husband and I make him listen to this. I'm like, I'm going to read you everything that I've written today. He's like, oh God.
He's got his AirPods in. He's like, oh,
I know. But it's when you read out loud, it's you catch those things. I'm like, oh, okay. So this could be said in a different ways. Like, you spot things that you wouldn't be able to spot when you're just kind of reading it to yourself quietly.
Yeah. Great tip. Okay. I love that. Yeah. So is that all 16? Because
that is all 16. Because you know what? I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, well, I use it in a couple of ways. And I'm like, hold on. There's so many ways that I've used it.
Yeah. You know? And have you been asked this before, or is this like the first time you've talked about how you use it?
It is a topic of conversation between copywriters, and we typically talk about like how we use it for ideation and research, but we probably, so many people use it in so many different ways. We just don't think about it, you know, and hopefully it gives you ideas and gives others ideas like, okay, so, you know, it's like untapped potential. You can use it for so many things.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you said, you know, I don't even think about it. I just use it, because for people that are new to AI and might be a little bit hesitant to like even get started with it, you and I both use it every single day in some capacity. And it's become second nature because we've been doing it for so long that it's like, I don't really remember my process or how I did things before, because now it's so streamlined and so much more elevated in what I can offer because I can run everything through ChatGPT or create these images using these tools. So that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, there are days when you use it more than Google, because our go-to used to be Google. For many people, it still is. But I'm like, okay, sometimes I catch myself thinking, would I get a better response from ChatGPT than typing the same thing into Google?
And then with Google, it's like just pushing all the sponsored ads, and it wants all of like, you know, their top generated stuff. So you're not even seeing all the good stuff. But with like Copilot, you know, you could kind of pull the AI version of the answer, but it also will source and link to blog posts. So again, blogs have never been more useful than right now for SEO, because it's not just Google that's pulling this information. It's now pulling from ChatGPT, well, with the new update, but, you know, through April 2023 for version 4. Copilot, which is Microsoft's Gemini, you know, it's sourcing where it's finding the information. And if that is your blog post on your website, I mean, that's just doubling down on your SEO.
That's right.
You know, like, it's not just Google anymore. It's all of these AI integrations. So very important. Awesome. So where can people find you? And tell us what kind of service you offer.
Of course. So you can find me on contentvertical.com. I am currently rebranding, fully rewriting and rebranding, because I haven't done that in 5 years. So everything is changing. Hopefully by May, I'm going to be on a new website. But Masha.copywriter is my Instagram handle. I show up almost every day, not as frequently as you do, but I show up there quite often. I share all kinds of tips and advice. And if you also want to be on my email, every single Friday, I send a weekly nugget of wisdom for marketing, copywriting, messaging. You can sign up on my website at the very bottom of the website. There's a sign up for my weekly bite-sized messaging tips. And these are, I think, the three places that I most often show up, my newsletter and my Instagram and my website. And what I do and how I work with interior designers. So interior design is my niche. I work only with interior designers. My signature service is website copy. And I have a signature framework that I use, which we talked about it a little bit earlier. It's all about client interviews, because my number one thing that I do is I write using audience insights that I collect in research, through research and through the client interviews, to make sure that it resonates with the ideal audience that you have, with the intended audience. So the way to work with me is my website copywriting service, or I also have a standalone service, which is just almost launching now. It is just client interviews too. So where I go and interview your clients, and then I get those golden nuggets, like copy gold, the amazing customer testimonials, but also those insights about your clients. It's like getting into the mind of your clients, you know, what are their pain points? How do they make decisions? So now I'm introducing this standalone service as well.
I love that. I have, until today, had never heard that you do that, or that that was even an option. So very cool.
It's like my favorite part of this process, because talking to clients, because I can't even imagine writing website copy without those things. It's like you're just writing about your brand. How do you know who it's going to resonate with? Because you want your website copy to be very intentional to resonate with those people that you want to resonate with.
Well, I've hired Masha before. Highly recommend. That's why she's here today, because I just, you know, I think she's wonderful at what she does. So I will put all of your links in the show notes as well. If anybody wants to find you, listen to her podcast as well, too, because not only are you doing the nuggets on your website and your newsletter and or on social media, but like your podcast is just full of great information, too.
I keep forgetting about it. Marketing for designers. That's right. It's also brand new. So I'm like, I think on the sixth or seventh episode right now, but very excited about it and talking with all kinds of experts. So definitely find me there as well.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining me today, Masha. I really appreciate it. Incredible tips. Like, seriously, this is going to be great for designers to listen to.
Thanks so much, Jenna.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the AI for Interior Designers podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel and tune in next week for more AI tips for your design business. See you next time.